Welcome to Live Healthy Now with Nicola Mercer, a weekly show helping you get clear on the power of building sustainable, healthy habits to live the happy, strong life you are craving. It's time to stop waiting for happiness and burning yourself out trying to reach it. Each week we'll share insights into the world of health and well-being to help you learn which habits are the right ones for you, without the overwhelm and confusion you feel right now. It's time to strip back and lay out the truth about why taking better care of yourself is the answer to the happy life you're striving so hard to create. Hi, and welcome to today's episode of Live Healthy Now. I'm so pleased that you've joined me today. And yeah, thanks for taking the time to jump in and listen to this episode. I hope that you're having a great day and whatever you're doing is going well. Maybe you're out walking the dog or making yourself a cuppa, or perhaps just taking a nice break in the day and you've chosen to listen to me on Live Healthy Now. So I do massively appreciate that. I wanted to put this episode together because it's a topic close to my heart. It's my backstory, essentially. And it's something that I'm hearing from a lot of people, women especially, that they're struggling with. And I've actually been asked by a few people over quite a few months, in fact, to do an episode just on this topic. And I finally managed to get a space in the schedule for this topic and conversation because it is really important. It's quite a sensitive one, so I thought carefully about how I wanted to talk about it. So we're going to delve into anxiety and how to build better habits and improve your health when you are struggling with anxiety. And I don't want to dive into too much or a lot really on what anxiety is. That's not what this episode is about. This is about helping you to take action and to be inspired to know that it is absolutely possible to build new habits, even if you are struggling with anxiety. You know, our habits are like our superpower. They're the tool, maestro, if you like, or master, for want of a better word. Like, you know, all of our habits are essentially the tools that we have in our toolkit, and we don't even know that we're putting these habits and tools into place. So having the right set of habits really is setting you up for success, and it's going to improve your overall health, which, as you'll hear, will help you to manage anxiety. So just before we do get into, you know, the action, the strategies, because that's what I want you to take away from this podcast, is just a little bit on what anxiety is, because it's definitely a word that's more commonly used and in a way that's a really good thing because we're more comfortable with that word. I wouldn't say all of the stigma that's attached to being someone who struggles with anxiety is gone and that we're, you know, 100% comfortable as a society to talk about it. But it is more widely known and understood and used. But there is also, I think, on the flip side of that, a lot of overuse of it in a way that isn't necessarily right. For example, I hear a lot of children talk about anxiety, and I know that we are seeing levels of anxiety increase in kids, and certainly, you know, mental health problems sadly rise in very young children right through to teenagers. But it's something that can be used in a way that they think means it's a bad thing, like, oh, I'm really anxious about this exam, when actually being anxious about an exam is a good thing. That's what we're designed to be like as humans. The problem is when that anxiety is chronic, as in it continues, it's persistent, it's very frequent and becomes a regular part of how you're thinking and feeling, and it's impacting your day-to-day life. So I think people can use it like, oh, I'm really anxious about meeting new people at a networking event, for example, and think of it as in, well, I shouldn't be anxious. But in circumstances and situations like that, being anxious is actually a really positive thing because it's giving us that adrenaline, you know, stimulating the hormones we need to function and to perform and to thrive when we're under that bit of pressure, which is needed in an exam or a test or maybe a difficult conversation that you're having with a family member or someone at work. And it's going to make you handle it and get the result that you want. So sometimes it's kind of misunderstood in how it's used. But it's right in that they are anxious. It's just that anxiety isn't always a negative thing. You know, it's very normal for us to feel like that. As I said, it helps us to stay alert, to be aware of risks. It motivates us. That's a key thing. So if you are hearing your child or children say on a more regular basis, "Oh, I'm really anxious about, you know, going to this new football event," for example, or anxious about a test, or anxious about changing their school. You know, my daughter's about to leave secondary school and go to college, and we had a conversation last week where she was quite emotional actually about starting at a college and the difference that's going to be compared to school, and that she was feeling really anxious. And trying to help her to see that actually it's okay to be anxious in situations like that, but it's about being aware of what that anxiety feels like and not having it spiral out of control. That's, I guess, the difference is when it's just anxious and, "Oh yeah, this feels like it's change and I'm a bit nervous and I don't know what to expect and I'm worrying about it." But if that starts to spiral where you are thinking those kind of thoughts a lot and it's creating a story of worry that continues and you're building out, you know, a version of the future that hasn't happened yet and all of these things that might happen and what it would lead to, that's chronic anxiety that becomes a problem. So hopefully that helps to give, you know, a little bit of an insight into what it is. And anxiety is different to stress. Stress is really that day-to-day, you know, "Oh, I need to do this," feeling that little bit of pressure, that a bit of adrenaline rush, rather than a fear, where anxiety is more fear-based. Stress is probably more around the worry of, "Oh, I've got all of these tasks to do and I feel stressed because I have a lot to fit in tonight and I wanted to get to bed at a decent time." And you can feel, you know, inside of you often, whether it's your breathing or in your gut, that almost rushing, turning over type of sensation. That's kind of the stress, where anxiety is much more about fear. It's a sense of dread and unease at times. And as I said, really looking forward, and certainly in my own story, for those of you who've heard me talk about this before, I start to suffer from anxiety and panic attacks when I was 19. And it took many, many years to be diagnosed as having generalized anxiety disorder. And my type of anxiety was catastrophizing. So really worrying about what hadn't yet happened and building these big stories of all of the what ifs. And so that's essentially, you know, the difference. Stress is very normal. Anxiety is very normal. But both of those can become chronic, where it's very regular. But anxiety is much more around like having a fear and dread and really, you know, being stuck in that place of unease. So for me, my anxiety was a lot around my health. And I know that this is something many women in midlife start to experience, often for the first time as they go through the transition of menopause. Things that go on can mean that you are having actual changes to your health, and it starts to create this anxiety about your health, where you're worrying the things you're feeling are going to lead to something much more catastrophic, something, you know, more fatal even. And there's lots of different, you know, very common types of anxiety that can be experienced. And when you are in that place of anxiety, it can feel as though it's impossible to shift out of it, because chronic anxiety means, as I said, you're regularly in that state. And so you aren't having lots of moments and time where you're feeling normal and able to maybe think and plan and set goals and feel that there's possibility to change. And that's what I wanted to zone in on, is making changes when you are in that place of unease and excess worry and fearing things. And whether that's about, as I said, your health, it might be about driving, it could be anxiety over your children and them leaving, it could be anxiety over money, relationship changes or difficulties, your job, career. Anxiety can be many things, and there are definitions of types of anxiety, like mine was the generalized anxiety one. There are other types as well, which, as I said, I don't want to go into all of those today. I just want you to think about this for yourself and think, actually, am I feeling anxiety in a way that's very normal, or is my anxiety much more regular and therefore chronic, and it's affecting the way that I'm able to live? And this is what I wanted to focus in on, is someone who's struggling like that, and it's making them think, yeah, I can't change, I can't get healthier. I hear Nicola talk a lot about the power of your health and what it means to take care of yourself, and I want to feel better, I want to protect myself for the future, as well as actually feel better to live a happier life now. This is the you that I'm trying to support in this episode. So why does building better habits to improve your health matter to you when you are someone struggling with anxiety, or someone who's maybe feeling depressed, low mood, you know, any of those kinds of things as well? I want you to know the power of being healthy. There are tools and techniques to manage anxiety in the moment. You know, you can practice breathing techniques, you can do the 5-4-3-2-1 method of, you know, what five things can you see, what four things can you hear, and so on. So there's different tools and techniques to implement when you are having an anxious moment. And for a lot of people, that anxiety comes out as an anxiety attack, or in my case, a panic attack. So, you know, breathing, trying to be more mindful, rooting yourself in the present, stepping away from what you're doing, those kinds of things. They're all great tools and they can massively help. And for me, for many years, I would say were lifesavers. I didn't know anything beyond that. All I knew was to kind of rescue myself in the moment. It was like, what can I do to mean it doesn't go to a full-blown panic attack? How can I stay in this meeting when I'm feeling these physical sensations and having these thoughts that I am? So they're all brilliant. But when we build habits that improve our health on a more permanent basis, so we're not looking at it from a sticky plaster point of view, you know, as in firefighting when it happens, we're actually trying to improve things on a longer term level, that's where the power comes. That's where you're going to see a shift in your anxiety, because when we're really nourishing our bodies and we're helping our minds to be more clear and we're supporting our lifestyle with our well-being, then we're going to cope better with the stresses and the anxiety that we have, and we can manage it more effectively. So the less stressed that we are in our day-to-day lives, then the more we're going to be able to train our bodies to be in the parasympathetic state, which is our rest and digest system. And that's where we're more calmer, our nervous system is regulated, we're more in control, as opposed to the sympathetic part of our nervous system, which is that fight or flight response. And that's when we're, you know, ready to survive. Our bodies have gone into action because they need to prepare us to stay alive. And when we're anxious and we're suffering from chronic anxiety, where our bodies spend most of their time, for a lot of people, it's pretty much all of their time in that sympathetic state. And it can also become a habit to be in that sympathetic state, which is a whole other conversation. But when we improve our health and we get stronger, both mentally and physically, then our body is more in that parasympathetic state of rest and digest. And therefore, we aren't going into those anxious moments as frequently. We train ourselves to think and respond differently to how it is when we are suffering with regular chronic anxiety. So the way that we live through our habits and our actions, you know, that's going to create the reality of our life. That's the output. Think of it like this, you know, what you put in, you get out. And I'm going to use the analogy of a cake, making a cake from a recipe. You've got the ingredients, you need all the exact amount of ingredients, but you also then need to mix it right with the right technique and have the oven set to the right temperature and put it in for the right amount of time. And all of that combination of of things, of the parts of the process, will create the right, lovely, tasty, delicious cake at the end of it. You are the same. What you put in is what you get out. And the get out is your life, how you live, how you feel. So, you know, what we put in from a practical sense, like food and drink, how much sleep we have, how much exercise, movement we do, you know, those kinds of things are going to contribute massively to what comes out. It's all part of the process. But so are the way you think and speak to yourself, and the people you connect with, the community you have around you, how much time you spend outside. Everything is part of that input in to you that creates the output. So the better your habits are, the more of the output you want is going to be a reality. Because those better habits are building strong health and well-being. You know, they're enabling you to be more in that rest and digest system state I've just explained about. It's going to help you to feel more in control, more positive, less worried, have more resilience, and be able to manage stress in a better way. And not catastrophize about events that haven't happened yet. Not think too much and put that fear into yourself and so on. So when you are healthy, you have all of the ripple effects that come as well. And I focus a lot on these in the system and frameworks I've created and use in my coaching around building self-worth and self-belief and confidence, your self-esteem. They all come as part of building a healthier lifestyle through the habits that you have. And they too are going to help you to be more resilient and live more present. And that's the opposite of what anxiety is. Anxiety is that forward looking and that fear of the future and thinking that you can't cope with what's going to come. For me, when I was trying to survive, basically, with the type of anxiety that I had, as I said, I used a lot of in the moment tools, and I didn't know about habits and about being healthy, but I did know that exercise was something I should do. However, I used exercise to try to lose weight and make me happy. I thought that was what was going to fix me and what was wrong with me, and then I'd stop worrying so much and not be anxious. And I had this whole story behind what losing a stone would do to me, and it did help. Exercise helped in lots of ways that I didn't really comprehend for many years until I shifted the way that I started to exercise about 8 years ago, about 7 years ago. And I started to do a lot more strength training, and I started to realize, even though I began that type of training to lose weight, I realized that actually it was about something different than losing weight. It was about being strong. And I don't mean being strong in how many kilograms I could lift. I mean feeling strong physically and mentally. And that's when I really started to see big positive shifts in my mental health. And that was only a part of it, though, because when I started to embed other habits into my life, lots of other things, some of them around food, definitely around stress, and massively around mindset. That's when it was a game changer. And I really felt the profound shift in how anxious I was and how I experienced it and what I thought about it and so on. So I know from my story how difficult it is when you're stuck with anxiety or thinking you're stuck with it, to believe that you are stuck and feel that it's just too hard to change, that you aren't someone who's going to be able to start exercising or, you know, even going out for a walk or leaving the house more. Maybe you really struggle with even just getting out of the house. So I get, you know, that it's difficult and it can feel like an uphill battle to overcome anxiety. But I want you to know that, you know, that story you keep telling yourself is going to create your reality. As I said, what you put in is what comes out. So if you're feeding yourself a story, if this is too hard, I'm never going to change. Once you're anxious, that's it. It's impossible to change it. then that's the reality. That's the output, because you're putting into your brain that that's what it is. So I want to give you some strategies to start changing that story, to create a new story, an empowering one that is telling you, you can feel differently. You can build new habits to have better health, which are going to make you feel so much better overall, and in turn, start to manage your anxiety. So I'm going to give you a few of these strategies, and I'm going to try and keep it really simple. First of all, start with acceptance. I want you to accept the anxiety you're feeling. Put a name to it, label it, because what a lot of people do with anxiety is try to hide it away. You know, it's like burying the dust under the carpet, so to speak. Oh, if we can't see it, it's not there. Well, it is there, and actually that can make it worse. So I want you to label it. I want you to say, I have anxiety. I am feeling whatever way you're feeling. Acknowledge it when it comes up, and just recognize that it's okay to feel like that. Whatever you've got going on that is causing you to feel as anxious as you are, it's okay, this happens. So that's the first tip. Just get aware, put a name to it, give it a label, and make it real. Accept it's part of who you are right now. That's the first thing. Then it's about small, in fact, no, it's about tiny goals. Now, I talk about the small steps being absolutely key to building new habits, and this couldn't be more relevant for someone who is stuck in a difficult place. As I said, whether this is anxiety, low mood, depression, just general unhappiness, you have to make those goals really small. So I want to get fit is the big goal. It's too big, right? Strip it back. Make a small goal, like, I just want to get outside and walk for a few minutes every day. Make it a monthly goal. Make it a weekly goal. And then set really, really tiny, small steps to go after each day. Because when you're faced with anxiety, you know, it can feel so overwhelming to have something that's so far away from where you are right now. Like, you know, I am going to be a happy person who's much calmer and doesn't have anxiety. That isn't the goal. That goal is going to literally freeze you right where you are now. Have that as a vision, as a dream, as an ambition. Like, yeah, it's a goal, so to speak, but that's not the goal you're focusing on and taking steps towards right now. You're breaking it down into something else that will then lead to another smaller goal and another. And achieving those goals will lead to that bigger dream being your actual reality. So focus on small steps. And I've got lots of resources on that, blogs, podcasts, social posts. Hunt around, shout out if you want some guidance, if you'd like to listen or read anything else that I've put out on this. But I talk about small steps being absolutely key to habit formation all of the time. The next step is to seek support. When you're anxious, it can feel embarrassing, like you want to hide it away. Don't. Speak out. Get help. Whether it's family member, friends, colleagues, maybe professional help, please reach out if you do need help. In this context, I want you to think about the support you could have to build habits. Sharing with someone else is a surefire way to help you stay accountable. But even more, so could that person help you with the actual habit? Like, could you go out walking together? Could you buddy up with someone to, I don't know, read a book together and, or, you know, read it separately and then come together to share what you've found? Or maybe it's you want to get out more and feel like you're part of a community. So tell people what you want to do and ask for help doing it as well, because a community and having people by your side is so beneficial in itself to well-being. So that's going to be like a win-win for helping you reduce and manage anxiety. The next one is so important, to practice self-compassion. And I talk about this, and I've wrote a blog just on this being the missing piece of the well-being puzzle, because we have to be compassionate to ourselves. When I was at my worst, which was for a long time, and obviously I had some, you know, some easier times, positive times during that spell, which is probably about 20 plus years when I'm saying a long time, I was never compassionate to myself. I was a bitch. My inner critic ran wild. She's called Doris. She is a bloody nightmare. She told me I was flawed. I was abnormal. I was a freak. I was going to end up killing myself one day because anxiety, you know, it was impossible to live with. I was going to fall apart in front of people, and that shame and embarrassment would lead to something catastrophic. It was awful. I never ever showed compassion to go, oh my God, yeah, this happened because of a difficult point in your time, and then, you know, became a habit, and look at how you're feeling, and no, the wonder you're struggling because you're having these attacks, which physically are so demanding on your body and really draining on your energy and take time to recover from, but you can't recover because you have to go back to work. I didn't show any compassion. I just showed criticism, and I was bloody harsh, and I was awful. If I'd spoke to a friend like that, I would have been slapped silly, basically. So you have to be compassionate. I'm going to really emphasize this, and I'm going to come back to it when I sum up as well, because it's one of the key things at helping you move forward and shift out of that place you are now. Yes, be frustrated. Yes, have self-doubt. Know that, you know, that shame maybe you're feeling from struggling with anxiety is real and it happens, but be compassionate about everyone else also feeling that, and be compassionate about it not meaning that there's something wrong with you. Be compassionate to know that it's going to be hard, and that sometimes you will struggle, and sometimes you'll have days or maybe just moments, you know, in your week where anxiety became so overwhelming that you just got sucked into that vortex of that downward spiral. Be compassionate. And then the next strategy is to look at different techniques and things to do for you that fit with who you are and what you want. So not everything's going to fit for everyone. And again, I've wrote about this. I've done a podcast episode just on this about it, you know, not being a one size fits all approach. It's your toolkit. Do what works for you. So going to the gym might not be your thing. So if you try it and, you know, you try to be consistent, because it is going to take a bit of consistency to build those habits up and to keep going, especially when you are struggling with anxiety. But if you give it a good shot and you know that it's just not right for you, fine. Don't persevere with trying to make going to the gym a habit. Focus on the goal, which isn't the gym. The gym is the process of probably working towards a goal of being fitter, or maybe just taking better care of yourself and moving your body more. And you know, maybe think, well, the goal is to be in a more relaxed state more often. And I think when I've worked out and had that adrenaline come out, I'm going to be in that relaxed state. So the gym is a way of going there. It's you moving your body. So what can you do differently? Maybe it's getting out on a bike. You might not have rode a bike for 30 years, but hey ho, maybe riding a bike is your thing. Maybe it's playing tennis. Maybe it is going to a dance class. Maybe it's being on your own in your living room, doing something on YouTube, because the thought of exercising in public and in a group is not for you. Find what works for you. I was going to say so. Find what works for you and tap into your values. Like, what matters to you? What is it you want to achieve? Like, do you like fun? Do you like connecting with others? Do you prefer to be on your own? Do you want to do something as a family? Do you want to go back to a hobby that you had when you were a kid? Find something that works for you. So don't be afraid to explore different approaches. And then the final strategy is about being more present. Anxiety, as I said at the start, is the opposite of being present. It's the fear of the future, of what's not yet happened yet. So how can you be more present? Bring in mindfulness, whether it's just being mindful in the shower or when you're eating or when you're driving. Use techniques like meditation, breathing, maybe listening to music, journaling, all of those things that you could do. But just being more present is important to build new habits, because if you keep moving forward and telling yourself, this is hard, I'm not going to get there, you know, I'll never do this by whatever point you would really like to do it, and it's just going to be impossible to change. I know that I'm still going to be anxious 6 months down the line. When you find yourself in those states and moments, get mindful. And the more mindful you do intentionally, or the more you are mindful intentionally, I'll get that right, the more that in itself will become a habit. And the more present you are, the less anxious you are. Because when you're only present, you're not thinking about the future. So it is a journey. Overcoming anxiety is a journey. And it might be that you need to also get support in the form of some kind of therapy, some counselling, some healing. Those things can work brilliantly. Sometimes the type of anxiety you have does require therapy, but any type of anxiety you have is going to benefit from building new habits to be healthier, because it is going to create a much more mindful, stronger mental and physical as well as emotional health for yourself. It's going to give you all of those ripple effects for confidence, self-worth, self-belief, self-esteem, help with managing stress, help you to sleep better, help you make different food choices, help you to move your body more. All of the gains that come from moving your body, which are incredible in itself, you are going to feel better. Getting off the starting block is the hardest thing. So use these strategies, which I'm going to sum up for you. And I liked a little acronym for this. I'm going to just give you the three key things to remember. And I want you to think of it in the form of SES. SES here in the UK, if you're not from the UK, is a sofa shop. I think it still exists. I'm sure they had an advert that was like, if you're going to do it, SES. So let's SES it, right? S, start small. C, consistency is key. S, self-compassion comes first. So small steps, start small with a goal, small goal, and take small, tiny steps, much, much, much tinier than you think they are. And I always get this when I run workshops and have people write out their small steps for a new habit. Their small steps are bloody huge. They're the goal, they're not the small step. So get really micro with this, something that's going to be a minute, 2 minutes max to do. It's not going to the gym, that's not the small step. The small step might be looking at the gyms in your area. The next small step might be asking friends which gym they go to. I mean that kind of small, okay? Consistency is key. You aren't going to feel better by doing something once. And because the once is going to be that first small step, that's tiny, that's not going to make a difference. It's going to compound over time as you take more and more small steps and you stay consistent. So keep going, commit to it, find ways to track, to reward yourself, to know that you are making progress. And the final S was the self-compassion. Remember, this comes first. You have to be your number one cheerleader. Recognize what you're doing. Reflect on how it's making you feel. Reward yourself for the changes that you are putting in place. And know that you are taking care of yourself. That in itself is huge. Be compassionate when it's tough. Be compassionate if you've had a day where you just couldn't get your ass out of the door and go for a walk. Be compassionate, but also be compassionate around helping yourself to know it's possible to change. Be compassionate by encouraging yourself to go at it small, but to go at it with consistency. So there, small steps, consistency is key, and self-compassion comes first. That's how you start to build habits to overcome anxiety, but also to build habits when you do have anxiety. It's a win-win. Those habits are going to help you with anxiety and help you in the rest of your life to feel amazing. So thank you for joining today. I always say this solo episode is going to be a short one when I'm doing it on my own, and it never is. I can obviously talk for much longer than what I expected to when I was planning the episode. But I hope you've taken something really inspiring away, and I want that to reassure you, you can change. Because honestly, if you haven't heard me talk about it before, I want you to know I'm not exaggerating when I say that my anxiety was crippling. It held me back in so many ways, and it massively impacted my mental and physical health in so, so many ways. It was tough. And if I can be where I am now, I absolutely, hand on heart, say anyone with anxiety can improve their health and overcome that anxiety. And when I say overcome, it hasn't gone away. Because as I said, we're human, we all have anxiety. We need it to actually thrive and to perform and achieve and survive. But it's, for me, it's still there. But because of how healthy I am, it's not rising up in the way that it did. There are things that can happen which can push me into that, but I have the techniques and tools to use when it's happening in the moment. But now, because I'm so much healthier overall, it's not there, because the health and strength I've got have enabled me to make changes in my mindset and how I go about my life. And so remember that input creates the output. And so what I'm putting in now is putting out something that's so different to where I was only 3 years ago. Have faith, believe in yourself. Give yourself that compassion that is very much deserved. So thank you so much for listening in today, for joining me on this episode. And please, if you've enjoyed it, give the podcast a rating. Take just a few moments to rate it and give us a review. And I'm going to ask one more, share it. Give this episode to someone who you know can also make changes in their life to live healthier, not just right now, but in the future too, because we're all here for a long, healthy, happy life. We want a brilliant life, don't we? So get sharing the episode with those who you love and care about. Thank you so much. I'll be back next week with a new conversation. So take care and get building those new habits. Thank you so much for listening. If you've enjoyed our podcast, please remember to hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. It would be really appreciated if you could leave a rating and review so other people can find us and build their own healthy, happy life. You can follow Life Now Coaching on all social media platforms and visit our website at lifenow.uk. Links are in the show description. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation and can't wait to see you again next week for more tips on living healthy and happy right now. Take care.